And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Mr. Matt Farah has picked. You like driving to this song?
I like when I start a drive, when I first get going, gets me going.
This is the song, huh?
Yeah, and you know how it became this song? I made a CD mix back in the day when we used to burn CDs.
Yeah.
And my old Aston Martin Vanquish has the 6-disc CD changer from 03. And I burned this disc when I first got the car, put it in the changer, and it has been CD1 in the 6-disc changer for this entire time. For literally 17 years, this is CD.
Wow.
This is track one of my driving mix for that car for the last 17 years.
There it is. And we're here with Matt in a very special new place. Is this place open yet? This is the second outpost of your car storage Soho House empire.
Yeah, West Side Collector Car Storage, South Bay, targeting the beach cities, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, still close to the airport.
Is it open?
We open on Monday. By the time this show goes up, it will be open.
Wow.
We open July 10th. We got a few cars in here, a couple early adopters, as it were, and some of my cars down here. We got my spider behind us, and it's really exciting.
Car. Look at that new car over
my
there.
My new car, which is a 2005 Acura NSX. I'm super excited about that car.
That car is beautiful.
It's really, really
nice. He took the cover off, and it was just... Is that your detail crew that did that? I mean, it looks brand new.
Actually, it is. It basically almost is brand new, but I bought it like that. It's actually going to, shout out to 405 Motoring, it's going to get the full PPF, the paint protection film.
Right. So you do that stuff. Why do you do that stuff?
You know, I did it on the Spider behind us,
right,
and I did it on my Safari car when I had it.
Right.
And it makes me just feel better about driving it. I just don't worry about stuff the way I worry about cars that don't have it. My Italian stuff from the 80s is like kind of too old to really do it and take advantage of it. But with a modern car, it just makes me feel better.
I saw a black 328 at Cafe Lux this past weekend. Was that you?
No.
It wasn't? No,
it wasn't me.
Huh.
No. There's a couple of them around. There's one that's like the full twin of my car.
Getting back to this film, I can't get, you know, Zuckerman and I are always the same way about it. We think about the moment where you're taking it off and then the paint is stuck to it. Like,
yeah,
it drives me nuts in my house when my wife or my kids put scotch tape. They'll tape up Halloween things and you pull it off and the paint comes off. It makes me crazy.
There have been a lot of advancements in the last just short period of time.
But here, let me ask you this. But generally, once you put it on, it's just on, right? Or not?
Yeah.
Or do you have to replace it, or does it yellow?
So the older films, stuff you would see on like Porsche 993s and 996s and 997s, the stuff they put on at the dealer or the factory back then, those films yellowed and cracked over time.
Right.
And when you take them off, they very frequently will take some little bits of paint with them.
Yeah, like we had a 997 GT3 RS.
Yeah.
That was rear fender front. I'd end up replacing those.
Yeah. The films that they're making now, there have been a lot of advancements in the tech. And now we won't know for a few years. But the films they're making now are supposed to be much gentler when you remove them.
I see.
We'll see. You know, we'll see. I don't know.
And it looks fine. It looks as shiny.
You never know
it
was there.
You would never know it's
there.
So
you do the film, and then you do the ceramic on top of the film.
Right.
And then that adds another layer of protection. And so anyway, with the NSX, the thing about that car is when I had that BMW M3 that I got from EAG, such a beautiful car, low miles, mint. I was such a pussy. I was so afraid to drive it. I was so afraid because all the value of it was in the condition of the car.
Yes.
Not a particularly rare car.
I know.
This was a valuable lesson.
That's a trap. Just drive it. It's for you.
And that's
You've
what
worked
Zuckerman
hard
said.
To get it.
That's what Zuckerman said.
That's what I taught Zuckerman.
But here's the problem.
What?
The problem is I had no problem with that as long as the experience justifies it. I don't mind driving my Lamborghini Countach or my Ferrari 328 anywhere because the experience is fantastic.
Yes.
Don't mind driving this Porsche Spyder anywhere because the experience is fantastic. The M3 was so expensive an example, but the experience was pretty much the same as if I had bought one for much less money. So I felt stupid devaluing it with miles, and the trade-off in experience wasn't there. The NSX is a better experience, a more unique experience, and it's a much rarer car.
Right.
So all of the value is not tied up in condition and low miles. I can drive it, I can use it, and it's still one of 248 cars, and the experience of driving it is a little more special.
Let me tell you what I do at this point in my life. I drive everything equally, and I could give a shit about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I used to think that way. I used to overthink this stuff. And now I just get into whatever I want to get into,
sure.
And I drive it all the same way. It's just based on like, do I feel like driving that thing?
Sure.
And we really do feel that, you know, it goes back to, and maybe I've mentioned it, the listeners have heard this before, but it's the Florida guy. There was a guy in Florida, he had these cars, they were all low mileage preservation examples, and he never drove any of them. Then he died.
Yeah.
His wife was selling them off and they had no miles. And we thought that was the saddest story we had ever heard.
It is.
And, you know, and I get it. I have nothing.
That's not me.
I'm not saying it's you. I'm not saying it's you.
That's just that is just a trap I fell into with one specific car.
It's a trap.
And I remedied it by selling that car.
Yeah. you just get over it and you just drive it, enjoy it.
Right. That might have happened eventually.
Yeah.
But it in the context of my collection, it was time for it to go. And the motivation for me finally going, okay, it's time for it to go, was finding that car.
Right.
That car fell into my lap.
I want to get rid of this. I want to get that.
Yeah.
That's valid.
And I plan to drive that
just
as soon as I get the paint protection.
I always go, if I stop driving something, if I'm just like, oh, I'm not driving it anymore, then it goes.
Well, that too.
That's the simplest idea.
I had the M3 for 2 years. I put 1,000 miles on it.
Then you're done. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Same thing with watches, right? If a watch sits in the box and it doesn't get worn for 6 months, it's got to go.
I find watches all the time, and I'm like, wow, I haven't worn that. I don't know about that one. There are watches that I will let sit for a year. You know, because there's the watch. That's your custom watch, right?
I designed this watch.
I know you did.
Not even custom. I designed the watch.
I know.
I worked with the Notice company, and I'm so proud of this watch. It's called the Canyon.
It's
coming
very
out
pretty.
Later this year. 100 pieces. Very excited.
It's like as Notice sounds like some sort of nasal like cancer of some kind.
It's tough to come up with.
We
names.
Found a Notice inside your olfactory system. Yeah. No, it's very lovely.
But I benchmarked.
What is this style? It looked ice blue in the pictures, but
it's mint green.
It's a mint green.
It's mint green.
Nice.
It's anodized with a bit of a fumet.
And who is Notice?
Notice are these guys. They're based in L.A. Mm-hmm. This watch is designed and assembled by hand in Los Angeles. Movement regulated in Los Angeles. They started as guys who modified Seikos, and you know me, I love a custom Seiko.
Mm-hmm.
And they started by doing that, and then they came out with their own brand, started making their own watches. And a lot of their early watches looked like variations on Seikos. And
right,
then they started
right.
doing some of their own totally original designs. And people in the past had approached me about doing a run of custom Seikos like Johnny did with that Cody guy. And those are really cool. But I didn't want to do something that wasn't totally a ground up design. And so when these guys, they heard me talking about that on a podcast or something, and they approached me and said, hey, if you were going to do a watch, like, What do you think? What do you think it would be? And I sort of said, okay, well, I'd want it to be this, 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 and I'd really want it to be something that was enormously high quality, great design, durable, versatile. I want it to be 41 millimeters. I want it to be no more than an 11.
Why 41?
I think it's big enough for big wrists and small enough for small wrists.
But isn't it 40 or 42? It's 41, you just decided that'll be my number.
You know why? Because my favorite watch, a recent watch purchase, was the Rolex Oyster Perpetual 41 right. with the yellow dial. And mm-hmm. so I benchmarked the size of that for this.
That makes
for
sense.
The versatility.
Right.
I wanted you to be able to wear it under a long sleeve shirt or mm-hmm. with a suit mm-hmm. or with a bathing suit, mm-hmm. short sleeves. So we got a 200 meter water resistant case, screw down crown, sapphire crystal, crazy bright loom. We've got a Lejeune Perrette.
The dial glows.
The dial's great, isn't it?
We're in bright light and it's glowing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's almost looked like it was illuminated. Like I look down, I go, is that thing got a light in
it? It's beautiful. And it's got a Swiss movement, Lejeune Perrette, 70
and
hour.
What is this going to set us back?
$1,200.
$1,200. Limited. And how many are you making?
We're making 100. They're individually numbered.
When do they go on sale?
We're going to start taking pre-orders in September.
Right.
My patrons for the podcast will get first crack and mm-hmm. then everybody else. You see the case back? It's called The Canyon, and it's got a topographical map of the Angeles Forest.
Oh, no way.
Which is really kind of funky.
And there are little marks where people died along the way.
Look, little crosses.
Is that what those little
there's
red
little crosses?
Oh, there's a thousand of them.
It's cold.
And there's an extra thousand you can't see from all the bodies they haven't discovered yet.
And so some of the metal parts, the case, the bracelet. It's got a Jubilee bracelet.
It's very nice.
And then I'll shut up about it. You do not need a tool to take the bracelet off. Quick release bracelet with your fingernails.
That's smart.
And it's got a push button. Quick set sizer.
That's great.
So you can, if your hand swells or whatever.
Quick release has to be on everything new.
Right.
Horace Straps is doing that right now.
It's just fantastic.
I'm
just so excited about it because I'm a watch snob in terms of quality and design, but not price.
Yes.
And this thing, if this said Bell & Ross or Baume & Mercier or Tag Heuer or any other number of a dozen Swiss brands, this would be $3,500 to $4,000, this watch.
Right.
It's $1,200 and because you've never heard of Notice. That's why. But it's got all the great hardware and all the great design, and I'm very proud of it.
We biopsied your Notice. And the news is not good.
But you like it?
I saw it on your Instagram. I do. Yeah. I like anything in that color family. I think it's, I love anything silver and blue.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting about this watch is the glowy aspect of it. I could see that on my wrist underwater.
Yeah.
On the beach somewhere.
Oh, man. On July 4th, I was in my pool. Looks so good underwater.
Totally.
I got to get an underwater camera to get a shot of the underwater vibe.
I am working on something similar that I'm not ready to talk about, but I can tell you, I was very surprised, when you're first thinking about something like that and you're going, well, they've been making watches for a long time and they're small and it's just, everything's been done. How can there be anything new?
Yeah.
And then you start working with a designer and you start looking at things and you go, God, there are a lot of variables of decisions that you can make that change everything. It's like, how many different ways can you combine seven numbers? There's a billion ways.
Yeah.
And then you see there is a way to express yourself creatively with a watch with these simple variables.
Yeah.
And you, like you're saying, when you explain with yours, you know right away what you want. You got to have a quick release and I got to have it like this.
Yeah.
I want it like that. And you see, like, here's a space where there's not a watch where you could fill in a nice little spot.
And when you know what you like and don't like about a variety of other watches.
Right.
Like, one thing I demanded was to have 20 millimeter at the lug and then 16 millimeters at the clasp, which is exactly how Rolex does it. Rolex's bracelets have the perfect taper and other people don't do this always.
Oh, wow.
Resulting in funky shaped bracelets. So I was like, this is the right way to do it. Just do it that. And it's like,
it's amazing at how many people don't get the bracelet right.
Yeah. You know,
even the leather straps and the rubber straps.
Yeah.
You put them on. Like, I was wearing a Breitling Endurance Pro.
Yeah.
Not an expensive watch, but I wanted something rubber to take on the tennis escort and stuff. You couldn't wrap the damn thing around your wrist. It was like a rectangle, and I didn't wear it.
You need to have a taper on the bracelet. You just that's how you bend your. That's how your hand actually moves. It's like ergonomics in a car. You ever drive a great car where the seat just isn't like designed to fit humans? It happens.
No, I've never driven any cars. What are they like? Let's talk about Roan. Guess what?
What are we talking about?
Roan clothing, athletic wear. We love them. You know, there's all sorts of other companies. I won't mention them. But Roan is the best. It's one of these companies I've been wearing their stuff for tennis. I've been wearing it out in the world. And then they called up and said, could we be a sponsor? And
is it spelled like the river?
R-H-O-N-E.
It is spelled like the river.
And their stuff is amazing. It's, you know, it's like what we were just saying about the watches. They took the uncomfortable pants and shirts and they made commuter wear that you can sit down and everything feels great. I'll get you some. You'll love it.
Hook it up. Double
and
X,
it's elegant. I'll be wearing it up at Pebble Beach. We'll talk about that too. Men's closets were due for radical reinvention and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, flexible set of products known to mankind. And here's why. They have a product for every occasion. Roan helps you get ready for any occasion with the commuter collection, which offers the world's most comfortable pants. I've worn them. Dress shirts. Yes. You put these shirts on and you're just like, finally. Quarter zips and polos. You never have to worry about what to wear when you have the Roan commuter collection. The stuff looks great. They have comfortable four-way stretch fabric that provides breathability and flexibility that leaves you free to enjoy what life throws your way, from your commute to work to your 18 holes of golf. You know when you're like watching tennis or Wimbledon, you see the guys or you see Federer up in the stands and they look sharp? These are the clothes. You're like, that's not like my shirt. Like, for some reason, you don't have to iron these shirts. They're perfect white shirts with crisp collars. I love this stuff. You know, their pitch in here, their commuter wear. I wear their tennis stuff. I've been wearing it all winter. Long sleeve, dry fit type shirts. Perfect, right? There you go. Anyway, the commuter collection can get you through any workday straight into whatever comes next. Head to Roan, Roane.com/Spike911. Use code Spike911 to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order. Roane.com/Spike911. Code Spike911. Upgrade your closet with Roan. Roan! You've lost a ton of weight, so you need some Roan. I'm going to approve Roan for you.
Thanks. Now that I fit their model.
Now that you are fit. Yeah, because you'll look fit, but when you try it on, you wear this stuff, you'll go, I can't not wear stuff like this anymore.
Let's hook it up. Let's get that smoking tire discount.
I'm headed into the gym, so I'm Vioried and Lululemon right now.
But this is like nicer. It's like Roan is where to work.
Roan
is
the new kid on the block, cool. And they add all this community wear. And I want to talk about
it out.
All right, let's talk about other stuff. By the way, Pebble Beach.
Yeah,
you're going to be there.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Forum, classic car forum.
We almost sold out in one day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We got 200 seats?
Yeah, yeah.
And they give us a bigger venue?
And they're $75 a ticket.
Wow.
And before I guess they offer them to the Pebble Beach people who have already bought. I don't know. There's some level. And then they go to the public. So anyway, if you're listening, grab your tickets right now because they are going to sell out. It is all for charity. None of us get any of this money. The crew up there is great this year. I've been talking, you know, that woman we're chatting with over email is fantastically supportive. Cindy.
We just got to make sure I get the parking you got last time.
They've already, they're like, whatever, you know, we're helping them and they're finally stepping in and go, whatever you guys need. And we say, we don't need much.
We need to not be in the dustiest parking lot ever with the long shuttle. That's what I need.
Well, you saw where they put Zuckerman and I last year,
yes,
right?
Yes, I want to be there.
You can be.
I
whatever you need.
I didn't get there at the exact time you got there.
There was some confusion, but that was because what happens on the peninsula, as you've seen, the police shut everything down.
No, it's a shit show. Yeah, it's crazy.
And the concourse can't control that.
Yeah.
But trust me.
That's all I want.
You're going to love
it. Nothing else. I'm going to give you gold, Spike. Gold. All I want is a parking space.
At the end of, and I'm never going to forget this. Last year we had, I brought my son Jack up. This year I'm bringing my son James up. And after the forum, I go, hey, so what do you think? You know, he's never seen his dad on stage. He goes, Matt Farah was funnier than you. And I said, wow. I go, yeah, he did get a laugh.
I had a couple good laughs.
But I said, what did you think about me? I'm not doing stand-up.
Yeah.
We're just doing a show. Anyway.
The producer doesn't get enough credit, you know? The guests always, they get the credit.
When you're a kid, I mean, that's the teenagers are just so good at throwing a knife right through your forehead. Yeah. Matt Farah's funnier than you.
It was a great gig, though. I had a great time doing that gig.
It was so much
fun.
It
was a lot of fun.
So much fun. And this year, apparently, there's a desk.
A desk?
I'm going to be behind a desk.
No way.
Hey, you guys, I don't know what's happening. So far, it's me, it's you, it's Johnny, it's Zuckerman, and I'm working on Jerry.
Is Jerry going to zoom? He's going to call, zoom in from somewhere?
Here's the good news. He's in Northern California. The night before.
Okay.
Then he's got another gig in Southern California.
So it's on the way.
So there's a potential that he's stopping.
Can they send
Friday
the chopper?
Night. No, he should be able to come in Friday night, do the show, and then scoot down to his show wherever he's going.
It's a good opportunity to drive one of his many cars.
There is a disclaimer when you buy the ticket. It's one of the, it's like two to three of the five people on this show.
That's totally fair, because you put my face on the poster when it was not certain that I was going to take it, and you said, like, that. And but I'm glad I can
the podcast isn't my primary business,
sure,
so like I'm barely paying attention to this, but I just said there's enough information about Matt, just put something together, send it to me, and I'll approve it. And right away someone said Matt has more subscribers than that, and I went, what did it say?
I don't know. I probably sent you
some old
bio or something.
Yeah, it said 990,000, and now you're over
a
million.
They pulled an old bio from somewhere.
Look, everybody knows Matt. Nobody's signing up for this because of his subscribers. It's all 90-year-old.
I'm personally insulted.
It's 90-year-old white guys that don't even know what YouTube is.
There's two commas in my subscriber number. No.
What do you think?
Shout out to McLaren. They're setting me up for the week.
Oh, I was going
to
ask you.
Yeah, McLaren's setting me up. This is a great gig. I got a great.
They are
my Pebble Beach gig is so solid.
Okay, but first, let me just for the listener, just you know what this is Mecca for car guys. It's 7 days of events.
Yeah, it's crazy town.
If you want to get a hotel, they just rob you. You gotta reserve it for the month.
It's $3,500 a night.
$35,000. And you know you can't eat anywhere. You can't do anything. So when a manufacturer steps up. It's because they've locked down these hotel rooms.
Yeah.
They've done everything. So where
the idea that I could somehow personally afford to go to Pebble Beach week
you
for
could.
A week.
You could.
I could, but I have to sell a car.
That's not true.
So you know, when you're an automotive journalist or influencer, whatever.
You're a giant business owner.
Yeah, yeah. Manufacturers set people up.
Yes.
And
so tell us what they're planning for you.
The pro quo of the quid. The quid is they are getting me a hotel room and a McLaren Artura for the week.
Ooh.
Which is lovely.
Which hotel?
I don't remember, but it's a nice one. It's
who
not
cares?
Like who
car.
Gives a shit.
The car.
It's one in town,
yes.
Which I love because once you're there, you can walk to stuff.
Yes.
The car
in town. Which town? Monterey.
In Monterey.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love the Artura. I can't wait to put 1,000 miles in this car. I drove it for like a day on the launch, and it was great. Fantastic. I love the Artura.
Yes.
My only responsibility for the entire week.
Yes.
Is on Wednesday, I am leading a caravan. I've made a drive route from Los Angeles to Monterey.
Right.
And I am leading a caravan of about 35 McLaren owners. On a drive.
There'll be no speeding tickets on that.
I was actually like warned by the McLaren people, like, hey, about half these people are pretty mellow and half these people
of
are
course.
Complete lunatics.
Yes.
And he was like, there are literally people in like Sennas that are going to be going 180 miles an hour.
Yes. And like, now when you say lead, you know that they're not going to let you stay in front, right?
And I told them, I said, I will make it very clear at the driver's meeting that if you want to go by me, and go at whatever pace you want, just go. I'll wave you by, have a good time.
Do
I'll see you up
there. Do
you
worry that somebody's going to hurt somebody and then you're going to be at the front of that and be blamed?
Because
yes,
look, I will confess to you that if I were in that car, in that motor, I might not be driving like a normal human either. It's so much fun. You get that gang mentality.
So I've done this so many times. I lead these drives for Road and Track multiple times a year, experiences.roadandtrack.com if anyone wants to come with me. And I lead them at a enthusiastic but safe pace. And people are behind me. And I am comfortable with the pace that we do it at, where people are having fun.
But what are we talking about, the 101 or Highway 1?
On this particular drive, PCH is closed, actually. It's closed from rock slides and mud slides and stuff. So we actually can't...
Pacific Coast Highway from Malibu to Ventura, you're saying? Or
no, from...
you're talking about Big
Sur
Highway 1.
The Big Sur part of Highway 1. So we actually can't do that at all.
It is closed.
It's closed. And it's going to be closed during Pebble Beach. Yeah.
How far can you jump down?
You will be able to come... Like the Concorde Elegance, or the Tour de Elegance, where they drive south.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be fine. It's south of that. But you cannot get there from the south.
Copy.
You can't go all the way
through. Got it.
So don't try. You'll be hosed. Yeah, yeah. So there's actually some other fantastic routes that are a little more inland that don't get as much love because everyone goes to PCH. But it's going to be really fun. And I made a really fun route, but I'm going to like early in the day, like if you want to be go crazy, just go.
Right.
And I'll sit here for 10 minutes and let you be long gone. And then everyone who wants to drive at my pace can come with me and that'll be fine.
And it's a 5-hour drive?
So it's broken up into 2 days. So it's LA to Ojai and then Ojai to. So,
oh, yeah. I see. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it'll be mellow. It should be fun.
And then where do you stay in Ojai?
The good place. What is it? Ojai Valley Inn?
Yeah, Ojai Valley Inn.
Yeah, the good place.
It gets wiped out every 3 years by a mudslide of fire.
Fire.
What? And who are these? Who are these people?
McLaren owners.
They're McLaren owners.
They're
so
owners.
These are the people who are buying McLaren.
They're owners. That's great. They're owners in their own cars. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And actually, I think like Bruno Senna is coming, like a couple members of Senna's family, Bruno Senna, and maybe one of the other, one of the female members.
More reasons to show off.
Right? Right? But like, please, like, just do that away from me. Like, I don't want to get, I'm not getting in trouble for you.
All
but
right.
That's literally, that's my only responsibility.
No, well, that's the big deal for them.
Great.
Yeah, that makes an experience for them. They have a budget for the experience for their owners, and then of course.
But then they have passes. You want to go to Quail? Here's a pass. You want to go this? Here's a pass.
Any of these, we've stopped saying yes to stuff. Any of these people should be providing some monetary value for anything we're doing for them, right?
Yeah.
I saw somebody emailed me about something, and I just let it go by, and. And then they said, hey, gently reminding you, are you going to come to this thing?
Gently ignoring you.
And I was in a bad mood. And I said, you know, I don't have a relationship with this automotive company, this prominent automotive company, and their stupid new fucking show with their nobody idiot hosts.
Oh, no.
And I am not coming.
Yeah.
I didn't write it like that. But I said, but I don't know why you're asking me to promote their stuff for free. Why would I drive here and take my camera out and help you promote something for a show and frankly for a magazine that I have no relationship with. Zero.
You know what I do with that? I go, let me introduce you to my ad salesperson who can give you our budget for such things.
And I don't, I'm the same way now. Yeah. I'm the same exact way. If you're a friend of the show, if you've come by, if I know you personally, if it's you, I'm going to give you all the love and help that you need.
Yeah.
Right? Because we work together.
But if it's like a commercial enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop asking.
Yeah.
I'm not a YouTuber.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't take, Zuckerberg and I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's I haven't quite reached the I don't want to go anywhere yet phase of my career.
No, you
I
guys think are great. You and soon. Johnny's great. He'll fly anywhere. But again,
I just flew to Monaco for 36 hours.
Fantastic. This is your business. Like everybody asks me why I don't go on this stuff, and I go because I don't really work in the car world. Yeah. It's my fun. I like doing what we're doing right now. Yeah. I'm coming here seeing your beautiful new space. That's exciting. But when you start to then want me to travel and write about your stuff, first of all, I'm not a journalist, I'm not a car journalist. Secondly, I don't really like to travel. I will. I was going to go on this thing with Mercedes because I like Mercedes and I needed to get out of the house. And then, you know, it didn't work out because of the movie, but whatever. But
I kind of am focused on trying to make money
sure.
in entertainment. And that has its own things attached to it. And I don't really share all that on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So Instagram, it's fun. It's a
funny thing. Well, on Instagram, you know, on social media, it's a curated snippets, right? And so people think that that's the only
thing
you're
doing.
For me,
it's all about cars.
Right.
And it's all about thing. It looks very one-sided. And I even hear about it on the other side of things. Like, hey, isn't he just doing car stuff now? And it's like, I'm only posting about that. And what I work on, and you might see little glimpses
of it here and there. But this show, you know, I'm now opening a second location of brick-and-mortar business where they're both open 7 days a week.
Right.
While doing another full-time job.
Yes.
And I couldn't stop the smoking tire and road and track at any time just to do this. Those things have to keep going.
Of course.
And I was waiting for, you know, the construction of a new building. It takes a long time. You never quite know exactly when it's going to be done. You can't really plan for it. One day it's just sort of done. And literally it finished like 2 weeks ago. We're opening on Monday here, and I have to go to Europe for the smoking tire 3 times in 4 weeks.
Oh my God.
and people.
Well, that's good.
And
this
look,
is all good.
I make my own schedule, and I'm not asking for anybody's pity or sympathy. You don't need to feel bad for me, but it's just like
we feel terrible.
It's a lot of anxiety.
That's what success looks like. Success looks like you're very busy and you end up disappointing people.
So going to Goodwood Festival of Speed next week. I'm very excited about that.
I would want to go do that.
That's going to be cool. We're doing some live podcasting on the Lotus stage at Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Fantastic.
Jensen Button's going to do a show with
us. He's great.
I love JB. And then we're going to do a show at this place, Caffeine and Machine. Do you know Caffeine
and
Machine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're doing a live podcast there, and you can buy tickets to it at Caffeine and Machine's website.
Are they going to fly you out?
Lotus is paying for the
good
trip. Yeah, Lotus is That's doing all it. So they're setting me and Zach up with some Amiras, some track time at Heffel.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. And then Spider RS in Germany.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
God bless you, Matt, for...
Busy, but fun.
I haven't flown in 3 years.
Really? No.
Yeah, I'm
going to... Other than that flight to...
other than the flight you and I took...
We took together
last year, a couple of weeks that I will do again. My first flight is going to be in a couple of weeks.
You haven't flown in 3 years?
Oh, I'm so happy.
Wow.
I don't really want to travel anymore. I send my family on trips and don't really go anywhere.
That's actually pretty impressive.
It's been great.
That is an impressive feat.
So here's now where I'm going to make my first flight to Fenway Park. My son is getting out of his camp in Vermont, and I said, "Meet me in." I just tell him, meet me in Boston, and we'll go to Fenway Park. And the Red Sox have opened up Fenway for us, and we're going to batting practice.
Really?
We're going onto the field.
Oh, that's rad!
It's going to be great, and it's cool. I love the Red Sox. I grew up in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts. I'm a Boston Red Sox fanatic. I raised my kids right. They are Red Sox fanatics, and Jack has never been to the Fenway Park.
That's going
to
be cool. That's
so
very,
I said, you know what? I'm going to fly there for the day. I'm going to pick you up at Logan, and we're going to go to a game, and we're going to do it right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I get excited.
But still, like, for you, a busy... fairly wealthy person with a family and a career.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten a plane in 3 years. Like, that's crazy to me.
Well,
because you seem like you're on the go.
One thing. let me explain a couple things. This damn movie we made took over two years of lots of work. I didn't know how hard it was to make a movie. I now know, and I will get into this. I think we're going to do a 6-episode podcast series with Jerry and our talent, and I'll make sure one of them is the producers. It'll be me, Jerry, and our friend Bo Bauman, where we get into movie making. Because Jerry and I really were guests in the world of movie making, and... You know, we made B-Movie with Jeffrey Katzenberg, but Katzenberg and DreamWorks Animation made it, and we were guests in their production company. This thing, Jerry and I made it. Netflix pushed the money across the table, and they said, here you go, guys. So it was a crash course in movie making.
Is it safe to say you had no idea what you were doing, pretty much?
No, we know how to make stuff, But we had not made stuff on this level with this type of talent, both on camera and off camera. And it was a crash course in movie making. It was the experience of a lifetime. And again, I don't want to get too out far in front of it because we're not even promoting it yet. But it was a wonderful, amazing experience that led me not to flying for 2 years. Like, we shot it in L.A., so I didn't have to scout.
Right.
I traveled a lot and I scouted, but even right now, like, I'm a few weeks from delivering this thing.
Yeah.
Even right now, I'm still getting calls like, hey, you gotta go do color timing, you gotta go do this, this yeah. another sound mix, this Netflix mix. It's super fun. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work.
It's just a very interesting tidbit that because of that you have not been on a plane.
Yeah, and well, there's a big pandemic in there.
Also,
where we were writing and nobody was really traveling. And
then, I wore masks, but I flew through that whole thing.
As you know, I had COVID 2 weeks ago, and I was really also trying to preserve that. I was like, how long can I run? And I made it 3 years.
When you got a streak going, I understand.
And listen to me, I'm still kind of still kind of goofy.
This
anyway.
Past flight that I took to France was the first flight since 2020 that I did without a mask. I finally, because like I felt the pressure of the entire plane was no longer masked, and I was like, all right, well.
I was at a restaurant last night, and one of the busboys was wearing a mask.
I mean, people.
And I was like, what is he doing? It's so funny when you're on the other side of this. Like, I feel invulnerable right now, like at least for 6 months.
You're good for a little while.
I'm good for a while. Yeah. But I was already living that way.
Yeah.
Zuckerman was always accusing me. You know, he's like, oh, you're playing it safe. I go, I'm really not. I didn't go to concerts. I remember when you got it and I was podcasting across from you.
Yep.
In fact, I thought of you because I remember you had red raccoony eyes. And I was like, God, he doesn't look right. And the next day, hey, I got COVID.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. There's a picture of me.
Thought you were superhuman.
The day before my family left, I took them out to dinner, and there's a picture of me and my son, and I have the red raccoon. My face is bright red. I thought it was because I had been out in the sun playing tennis, but no, I had red eyes and a red face, and Erica's like, you don't look right. And sure enough, the next morning, boom. Yeah.
And for the record, if you feel comfortable wearing a mask, please wear one. If you're feeling sick, please wear a mask.
I get the sense this thing is all over the place again.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the test anywhere, and everybody's getting sick. But whatever. It seems like we're all dealing with it as a culture a lot better, I think. But just don't start telling us you won't die from it, because people are still dying.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so this morning, the folks at Khan Media, who bother us all the time with stuff.
I like them. I'm a fan of Khan Media.
Oh, yeah, we like them.
They set me up with a ton of shit for our project.
They're okay.
C6 Corvette giveaway. We're giving away a Corvette.
I'm in a love-hate relationship with them. The only thing I don't like that they do, but we've worked it out, is when they call to book someone on my show, they don't tell me they're also on your show. And then we post the same person that same week.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I said, don't ever do that to me or Matt ever again.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us the full picture.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right?
It's fair.
He's Jimmy Kimmel and I'm Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
But they don't do the same guest on the same night. But we're friends, but you just, come on. Get it together.
That's fair.
Anyway, they called up with something cool, and I've got it here. This Velocity Bronco. 1970 Velocity Midnight Edition Bronco. Which I drove here. I said, if you can get it here at 8:30, and they were really cool. They said, yeah, we'll drop it off. I'll drive it to Matt's spot, and we'll chat about it. And I got into this thing and immediately got onto the 405 and was having fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's the funniest kind of test drive, like a rush hour test drive in something that's not made to be on a highway. But take a look at it. It's on my Instagram.
It's very pretty.
What these guys are doing, they're a Restomod manufacturer that specializes in building modernized classic vehicles in just 14 weeks. Now, this is one thing that, did you know this about them? They guarantee the car in 14 weeks.
That's crazy.
Here's what, you know, and this is what, you know, we were talking about with watches, where you're trying to fix a problem. A restoration, or you get into these guys, you're paying them every month, maybe $15,000, like Rod Emery, or every week. But sometimes, and I'm not going to say Rod or Jonathan Ward doesn't deliver cars on time. I don't know. I assume that they do. But a lot of other folks don't.
It drags on.
It can drag on for a long time.
Yeah.
What's nice, what these guys are saying is, look, you're going to pay us. You're going to pick up your car. You're going to do Bronco. I think they have F-Series trucks and K5 Blazers. And we're going to have it done in 14 weeks. You're going to spec it out, and it's going to be ready.
It's pretty crazy. That's right? Very fast.
It's very fast.
You can't order a brand new car and get it in 14 weeks.
And, you know, the whole you've got the resto mod, so it evokes the nostalgia and the emotion of driving the classic vehicle without any of the hassle. I didn't know anything about these guys. I guess they're in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
So I just got into the truck, and he said, "You want me to tell you about it?" I said, "No, I'm just going to drive it. Just tell me what it's got for an engine." So it's got the Gen 3 Ford 5-liter Coyote V8. Yeah.
Out of a Mustang.
10-speed automatic overdrive transmission. It's gorgeous.
Black, it is gorgeous.
Glacerate paint. It's got a newfangled CD system that I just I plugged my phone in with a USB and it started playing my music. Like, again, I read nothing about this.
Yeah.
And I immediately felt like I should get a mullet and put Leonard Skinnerd on, which I did. Not the mullet, the Leonard Skinnerd. And just have fun. And I was immediately having fun when I pulled out of my driveway. It drives exactly as you would expect it to drive. Don't you dare look down for a second. Or it's just going to drift right into the other lane. Because look at those tires. Those are big wheels
it's
and tires.
It's got big,
right?
I think they're 35s on it.
It's jacked up. It's LED
and
lights
and it's
front.
Still, you know, it's solid front axle and solid rear axle. So it's a little bouncy. I drove it around just for a second.
It's very bouncy on the highway.
It is bouncy.
Well, I mean, any of those cars anyway, aside from the new Bronco. But when you're looking at this old stuff, it's, you know, John, you know, my Hangar 56 partner, John Stevens.
Yeah.
He's into all that stuff.
Yeah.
He gets so excited. He just bought a diesel Suburban. He brings this stuff over. I drive it and it's just creaky. And I'm like, how can you drive this faster than 40 miles an hour and be comfortable?
Yeah.
And he's like, I just like that experience.
Yeah.
This is a more refined version of that experience.
Yeah.
It's not a highway truck. But it is selling you a good time. So when I put the music on and I drove it down the street, and I've got no door. I've got
there's
no windows.
Lower half of
open,
doors, pretty
lower
much.
Lower half of doors. Yeah. I was, and it's summertime. I was very, very happy. And it's $250,000. I think this model is $300,000.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but you know, it's a certain type of driver. You go to roll the windows down, all right? It's got the roller handle, but it's electronic.
Yeah, Icon does that too.
Yeah,
you click it down or up.
Push them down. Yeah, it's got that stuff. And there's this, it really made me feel like Massachusetts again. And,
we have one at our Playa Vista shop. One of our clients has got one, and it's blue with a white and blue interior.
Yeah.
And it's real 4th of July vibes, you know?
It's funny because
he loves it. The guy client absolutely loves it. Thinks it's great.
It's look, you're not gonna, it's fun for sure, but I think it's fun around town.
Yeah.
And it's not fun on the highway.
No, it's a like cruise down sunset car.
Yeah. This was about, the drive down here was about 45 minutes, which was about 39 minutes too long on the highway. You were just like, God damn it. If I do one thing wrong, I am going to roll this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause you know, somebody slows down in front of me and I decide to get on it. The Coyote engine just lights up. It makes all the right sounds. But if I just, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to roll that shit.
The moose test is not good.
No, no. Yeah. So, but it is, but I thought, yeah, I'll take this out to Malibu with the kids and it's going to be fun this weekend.
Yeah,
my wife will hate it, but I'm going to like it.
The one thing that Icon, now these are built very well, these Velocity cars.
Yes.
The one thing that Icon does that to my understanding is different from this one you've got here is they use a Morrison chassis, which has different suspension geometries. So it actually does sort of handle a lot better than the other ones. This one is the best you can do with the old school architecture.
And I see.
This is my understanding. I didn't read the press release that you got in your hand. So I took the Icon one in the canyons, actually.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
Like shockingly good and predictable and easy to drive, even in the canyons.
And you have the Maestro Jonathan Ward, who we love.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they have a lot of experience. They do an amazing job. And I think their trucks are a little more expensive than this one. But they re-engineer the suspension in a way that makes them handle a little bit better.
Let's talk about HelloFresh. You get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The Ferriston's number one meal kit. You've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it again. Erica Ferriston started cooking thanks to HelloFresh. Make your home the hangout place this summer with crowd-pleasing eats from backyard bratwurst bar to tangy key lime pie. HelloFresh Market makes summer entertaining a cinch. Did you know that HelloFresh offers more than just delicious dinners? It's now easier than ever to skip that extra grocery store run by adding snacks, sides to your weekly order. Simply shop HelloFresh Market. Take your pick from the curated selection, over 100 items. You know these guys?
I do.
Just every, the box just comes to you.
I know.
Everything in it.
I love it.
The recipes, everything's cut up. We're huge fans.
What I like about them is I cook things that I might not have otherwise cooked.
Right, right.
Because I like to cook, you know, and I like to find my own recipes and stuff. But you get in that groove where you make the same five or six things over and over.
I'm going to be really honest with you. I was very skeptical of these sponsors.
And no, HelloFresh is good.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'd sit down. Erica would be like, I'd be up in my office writing. She'd go, it's dinner time, come down, and there'd be this new kind of meal. I go, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And it would be delicious.
And you know they've got the nice, like, 8x10 glossy recipe cards?
Yeah, yeah.
I keep those.
Yeah,
and
of
I've
course.
Brought them out and made the food again for like, parties and stuff.
It's such a win for my family. I'm pretty easy. My other two kids are not. But they're happy, and Eric is happy, and it's great. So go to HelloFresh.com/50Spike911 and use code 50Spike911 for, guess what, 50% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/50Spike911 and use code 50Spike911 for 50% off shipping. There it is. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. You can always go to my Instagram and you'll see a link tree with all of our codes, because I'm sure you're driving or doing something now where you can't write that down. I need a car. You know, I got, this is why the Bronco is kind of an interesting moment. Yesterday, I was notified by my business manager that my lease is up on the Defender.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, I know.
In 3 years?
It's really weird. We're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But apparently in a month, here's what happened. They delivered it without the rack and the other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So I was about a year and a half in before Galpin Land Rover and Dean Maroney hooked me up with that stuff for free. And Land Rover National, I think. I forget.
Yeah.
But I know Galpin Land Rover totally hooked me up.
So
and
you
they were
black
fantastic.
Out all of the part of the lease before that stuff showed up?
No, but yeah, yeah. It felt like, oh, now the car. And now, so it's like 12 months later.
Oh, wow.
And it's over. Or it's even less
than
that.
And it's probably like too late for you to order something new and get it in a timeline that is appropriate.
I was completely caught off guard by it. And then I thought, well, do I buy, you know, and now you're hearing me like you guys when you lease a car. This is my one business lease. Do I just buy the thing?
Yeah.
And then I'm reminded, well, someone took me out on the 405 to the tune of $30,000 in a NASCAR bump.
Oh, yeah.
Do I want to buy that car?
No.
I don't.
No.
Even though it's
out.
Perfect.
You have a here you go out.
I have an out.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no way to kind of lessen the buyout by saying it was hit, because I'm, yeah, it's a mess, right? Which is now leading me to, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, what are you going
to
get?
So just last night, you know, I was talking to Dean, and I said, you're still hooked up at Galpin, at Land Rover, and I go, let's, you know, I just driven the new Range Rover Sport, which I absolutely loved. I go, what are the lease prices like? He goes, they're ridiculous. If you can get a car.
They're astronomical, yeah.
I haven't even looked at what he meant by that, but he said, if you can get a car, and we know the games that manufacturers are now playing with everybody with cars, for some reason we can't make them, and it's supply chain. No, it's not.
My friend told me that he went to buy a Porsche. This was in Texas.
Yeah.
And the Porsche dealer was flipping a new Range Rover.
Ah.
They bought it up the street and they put it, they were flipping
that's
it
for, crazy.
For 40 over.
Yeah, but the dealers are doing it too. I mean, this whole fake we don't have inventory thing is just for profit. They've realized people will overpay for stuff, so why not just keep dripping them along like Rolexes?
Yeah.
It's hard to get. So I'm immediately caught up in a mess. So, you know, I just started goofing around with Bronco. I really like the way the Bronco Heritage looks, the Ford Bronco Heritage.
Uh-huh.
And I found one, and I also like the Bronco Sports. I think they're really cute little things. And here's what I've realized. Like, I have no miles on my Defender. Like, I'm rarely driving this thing because of press cars and all the other stuff. And we have a GT4 RS coming in and the GT3 RS coming in. And there's just not that much driving. And then I have a kid who's about to drive.
Yeah.
So I've got to get him a car, right? So I am a mess right now.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm at, Matt. So Range Rover Sport, I don't know if I can get one.
Yeah.
Re-up on a new Defender. Don't know if I can get one.
Mm-hmm.
I always look at the Porsche SUVs, and I get close, and then I give them back. I really want to be all electric.
Sure.
I mean, right now, this second, I would just get a Model 3 Performance. Franz von Holzhausen would help me, and I would be happy. But that's not going to help with what I'm doing a lot of hauling lately.
Yeah.
You know, bikes and electric bikes, and I can't do that in the Model 3.
And you can't, it has to be a lease for business,
and
right? You can't buy
it. It has to be a lease.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go up to Tahoe and we ski, and the Defender's great up there.
Yeah.
But we also have the Model Y.
Yeah.
But does a two electric car, I am not sleeping at night. Does a two electric car household help? Then I looked at the Heritage Bronco, which is fun, but is that something I'm really going to enjoy?
How many miles does the Defender actually have on it? How many miles did you put on it in 3 years?
12,000.
Oh, that's not a lot.
No.
Yeah, that's not a lot at all.
Yeah, 3 years plus
it'll
be turned in like that.
Well,
So here's like to me, and I've said this, I want to be off gas for my daily. I don't want to be polluting. I want to help. I hate going to the gas station for that.
If you hate going to the gas station, it's good, but you should not be confused into thinking you're saving the planet at all by having an electric
vehicle. That's not the point.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to go to the gas
station. Fine. No problem.
I like electric.
Okay.
Right?
I like my Ford a lot.
Oh, that's
my Ford lease is up in April. I actually plan to I'm either going to get another one or a Volvo XC60 Recharge, which is the plug-in hybrid.
Doesn't have enough miles for it.
Huh?
The XC Recharge.
It's a plug-in hybrid,
right,
that one.
Right.
So I was going to, it's got 40 miles of electric and then a gas.
You're right. That's a decent car. I did enjoy that. It was a little vanilla for me when I drove it.
It's for my wife 90% of the time.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not your wife.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying.
Now, when does
I like the Ford a lot.
When does Ford adopt the Tesla charging plug?
Model year 2024 will come with an adapter. Model year 2025 will come with the full port.
But today, you could go to a Tesla supercharger?
You know, I haven't. I believe you can.
Right.
I don't, but don't hold me to that
because
I'm not certain because I haven't tried it myself.
This is a good option. This is a good option.
But at 12,000 miles a year, you don't need to go to a Tesla supercharger. You're going to charge at your house.
No, I know. I have a charger at the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I got another Tesla, then I could just put the Tesla charger in there and then we're fine.
Yeah, or you can have.
But I think you might be right. This Ford could be a good idea. That could be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, and that's Galpin also.
And what are we getting now on this electric Ford per charge?
I get 300 miles.
300 miles?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And you're happy?
I like it.
After all this time.
I like it a lot. Yeah, I do. Ours we've had for 3 years, and ours has 22,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And I would buy another one, absolutely. Well, you know what I loved about the Volvo that might actually send me to the Volvo? It isn't.
I love the colors.
The colors
they have is beautiful.
The red, I'm so into Volvo's red.
Mm-hmm.
The wool seats.
They're fantastic.
The fucking wool seats are so great.
But
they stain? But what?
Look at how I'm dressed. I'm constantly sweating and working out and getting sitting down. It would soak it up
might,
like a towel.
It might, yeah. And Volvo's air suspension. The one I drove had the wool seats and the air suspension, and it was great.
It is a great car.
It rode so beautifully.
Yeah, yeah,
it
I know.
Was, you know,
for That's another good option, too.
For errands. I'm not trying to sell you on
the
it.
Range Rover. Here's what's hard. Like, the landlord, the new Range Rover Sport, I drove it, and immediately my world was like, oh, that's better for you. You look right in that.
They're dope. They're
more
so
than the,
expensive.
And I said, more than the Defender? And they go, yeah, that really looks like you. And I don't know what that means.
Because you're a Hollywood guy.
No,
you're fucking Hollywood and Brentwood, dude. You're a Hollywood guy.
Look.
You're not like a crunchy REI guy.
Yeah, no, I am. I like the Defender. I'm not. I'm a hillbilly in those areas.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
I was on the 4th of July. Here's what I was doing. I was on a taco mini bike shooting rockets in my backyard. Nobody else in Brentwood was doing that.
That's probably true. I think you probably were the only.
And then I got insecure. I was like, look, the police are going to end up coming. And the kids are like, hey, you're a bit, no, there's two, everybody's lighting off fireworks. I go, we should stop. And 2 minutes later, Kamala Harris's motorcade went right by the house. And, by the way, stopped because someone was blocking the road. And imagine what happens in that scenario where I'm blowing shit up right there.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
It's a weird life. Misunderstood like that.
It's a weird life I live.
I don't know. I see your dilemma.
Yeah. But you don't see me in a Model 3.
I mean, I love the ease of these Teslas.
As everyone knows, I don't like Elon Musk at all.
I get it.
I do like that car, and I do like the Model 3 performance.
Well, that's fine. You're allowed to like that car.
What if I did that and then got some sort of Subaru SUV?
For 12,000 miles a year, dude. Just
no, for the kid.
Car.
And then at least you got a thing that you can take up and drive for the.
Can I encourage you to make your son's first car a manual transmission?
And he already drives that stuff.
He can drive stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He learned at I think age 11.
I think I am such a.
You want to know what he's driven?
Your Land Rover.
No. He learned to drive stick on the Volkswagen police car.
That's great. That's a good place to start.
40 horsepower.
Yeah, perfect place to start.
Jammed it. He then moved up to the 82 Targa and got that pretty quick. He had a little bit of trouble with the GT3, but that was very funny when it was a Porsche press car. and there's this little 12-year-old kid driving.
That's a tricky clutch, actually.
It was hard.
Yeah, lightweight flywheel.
Yeah.
I have a client who's selling a 2015 Mini Cooper S with like 50,000 miles on it, and it's stick.
Oh, wow.
And I think that would make an excellent first car for
your kid. I don't want... Look, and people ask me all the time, what's the best first car for their kids? I always say, go look at the highway safety stats of the cars, and it's all about safety. And
sure.
They're going to wreck the car.
And it shouldn't be too fast.
And it shouldn't be fast. It shouldn't be expensive. And it shouldn't really, I feel like it shouldn't be performance tilted to encourage them to do dumb shit.
Right.
I really think, and this is my personal thing, like, all right, I won't put you in a Prius, even though I want to. And then you can work your way out of that situation.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You go get a job. You do the whole rest of it. But I am not going to give you, I'll let the kids drive stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think I will let him go, hey, take the GT4 RS out tonight.
I'm sure you won't.
I'll say, come on, we'll drive it together.
We'll do it together. It's an activity.
But
I do believe in a manual transmission first car for a young person. I think it's a good life skill.
Well, I think we're in agreement.
And you can't text as easily while driving.
Look, I think we're in agreement that they should know how to drive. Both my kids and my wife all know how to drive manuals at this point and are good. Jack also has driven. I said, you're one of the few kids who've driven a manual Zagato 356. only kid.
Probably not a lot of them out there.
Yeah, he digs it. Both my kids like to race, and my other one's a two-wheeler and going nuts right now with wheelies. But
all right, well.
L.A.'s nuts. And we got to keep everybody safe on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't give your kid a Tesla. He will crash it. Or she.
You think?
Yeah, they're way too fast for a 16-year-old.
They're kind of bored by it. I mean, they've driven it, but they were like, eh.
I mean, I think it's way too fast and unengaging of a car for a young person.
I think Subaru is the sweet spot.
Probably. Yeah, it's a good place to start.
New or used.
A little cross-track action.
For your kids, it's a perfect size vehicle. It's not too big. It's not too expensive. And
my first car that I purchased
to
was a Subaru.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
So someone called me, a writer I know, the same conversation we're having right now. His kid, he's looking at, you know, late model Audis and BMWs, 2000s era. And he was surprised to learn about the Takata VIN search. I said, look, dude, I hear what your son wants, and I totally get it, and he's looking at the lower price cars. Here, I sent him the site. Make sure you put the goddamn VIN in here first, because you're about to be surprised.
And it's probably outside of the day where they'll do it for free. Right?
No, it's not. Oh, I mean, you put it in. I was checking. I was talking about it on the podcast weeks ago. I was taking random cars off of eBay and putting in the VINs, and they were all going, dude, not drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Take to BMW and fix. Nowhere in the advertisement did it say a hand grenade will go off and scar you for life. So just remember when you are looking at that zone, because I think a lot of folks are for their kids.
When I sold my BMW M3, it's got that paperwork.
Yes.
Recall addressed.
Yes. Takata VIN search. Just put it in the Google line. It's as easy.
You just check your own car.
Yeah.
Like, just search your own VIN. Like,
yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, and for the most part, they'll fix it for free at the dealership.
Yes.
And if you don't, you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. You might lose your neck or an eye or a nostril.
Yeah, it could be bad.
Anyway.
It could be bad.
Well, we've talked a lot, Matt Farah.
We have for 59 minutes and 42 seconds.
We've done an hour.
How about that?
And it's been fun. You haven't been on the show for a long time, and you're
appreciate
one of our...
having me back.
The OG... you were on the Car Matchmaker, right? You and I, that's where we palled around.
I was not. No, what do you mean, on TV?
Didn't I put you on Car Matchmaker?
No, I was never on Car Matchmaker. We did the Esquire gig, the car of the Esquire car Sam Smith in Detroit. That's the only TV we'd done together. I never did Car Matchmaker.
Wow. Is that so where did we meet?
On that.
On that, on the Car of the Year.
Esquire Car of the Year, yeah.
Wow.
And then
I swear we knew each other a little before then.
I mean, maybe just like a little bit from the porch.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know the I got the Malibu Kitchen sign. It's in the other building.
Oh, shit. We have questions.
All right. I have time. If you got
you want to do 10 minutes of questions?
I got time, dude. I'm here for
a lot of people.
You.
And you just reminded me. Someone said, what's going on with the what's going on with the sign? Go ahead. Tell us what's going on with the sign.
I bought the sign, Malibu Kitchen sign.
But
so,
where is it now?
So here, where Spike and I are sitting, are at Westside Collector Car Storage, South Bay, and we're in Building 1. Building 1 is finished and open. Building 2 is next door. We will have more storage in there, but we will also have the entertainment venue, the cigar lounge, the kitchen, all of that stuff. And the Malibu Kitchen sign is in Building 2, and it will be hung in the lounge and lit. It'll be
great.
I have not just that. I have I got a bunch of stuff.
Bill know that?
Yeah. I bought
that
sign.
Did you call him about cigars?
I haven't yet. I bought that sign for a ton of money. I spent way too much money.
I know,
on the
but
sign.
What a perfect place for it.
But I also stole a few things, and I also have some other memorabilia from the Malibu Kitchen, and there'll be sort of like a shrine to that period of our lives on the wall over there.
All right, let's quickly answer some of these questions. My Resense wants to know: do you guys buy watches for your wives?
Yes,
I have.
I've bought her 4 watches.
Yes, I would say I'm in that.
I had
same
a custom
zone.
Made watch made for her. Cameron Weiss made a one of one watch for her.
Yes.
For her birthday 2 years ago.
I have Rolexed her up. I have, what was that? Shinola brand.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
when we were shooting that thing?
That was
a watch
at
I bought. She still wears
year.
That watch. Yeah. She loves that company. And yeah, of course, you always want to get your wife into the things that you are into.
And I buy her cars, too. I bought her the Japanese van, this Nissan POW I bought for my wife for her birthday.
Here's a little tip, though, guys. And this is from Brian Williams, the news guy. And he was the first to point it out, and he was exactly right. Because I bumped into him when we were shooting something in Florida together. We were both wearing that new Rolex Daytona, the black dot.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, it's weird, Spike. I've had this for 2 months, and my wife hasn't even noticed it, which is excellent. She hasn't asked me about spending $15,000. And I go, yeah, that's right. My wife hasn't asked me. He noticed that the wife doesn't notice new watches, that you can make you can buy something expensive, and they won't even
see it.
You
just don't tell them.
You just don't tell them. And he's
right. It helps
right.
when, well, especially with you, because your Crown and Caliber dealer, whatever, if they're, if they're loaning you demo watches.
Erica doesn't even see that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing this Crown and Caliber watch right now, this new French Navy Tudor that I'm loving. Doesn't even say anything.
And
I have a new
cool
white dial Daytona. Hasn't said a word about it. Haven't said a word.
Hannah's very cool about my watch habit. She lets me buy anything I want. She doesn't give a shit. It's great. She goes, are we going to run out of money? I go, no. She goes, all right, buy it if you want it. It's great.
All right. Let's see. Let's just.
Are you going to go for Pebble? Are you going to go baller watch, old watch?
I don't
fun watch. What
do you think? I don't like the space of living in my head where I have to think about outfits and what to do. If I were to actually spend time thinking about what I'm going to wear and what I'm going to bring up there, I'd start to get really anxious and I would never win. So I don't know.
Wake up one morning, grab something, and that's going to be
it. Here's where I'm happiest, and this is just like getting on in life that I've learned about myself. There are days where I just walk into my closet, I put some things on, and I get in a car, and I go, oh, it kind of worked out. I'm happy. Yeah. When I overthink it, and I'm trying to put on the right things, I never feel comfortable, and I don't feel happy. So,
do you travel with multiple watches? Even though you haven't gone,
I try to pick one.
Me too.
I try to pick one.
I pick a one for the trip.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've done it before, multiple watches, and I've realized I only wear. But there's always one watch that works perfectly for a trip.
Yeah,
and I wear it.
I don't like to leave something like a watch out of my. You know, if I'm traveling, I want it on me.
Yeah,
I don't want to have a watch in my bag or leave it in this hotel safe or something.
So Zuckerman and I were just talking about what kind of cars we're bringing up, and we've got him and me, and I was like, let's just bring something. And we got James with us, my 13-year-old. I go, let's get whatever one of us has that we can have three people in. Let's just do that and drive together because we'll be up there for 24 hours.
Yeah. Again.
And then I think it's already turned into two cars. I said, well, no, if the GT4 RS arrives, that would be pretty fun. So, I don't know.
Well, I've got a McLaren Artura. Put me down for that.
Yeah.
Okay, what else you got on the questions list?
Can we have a Spikes Car Radio Lemons team? We'll do that sometime. Will you tell Matt Fair to stop saying mobbing? No, I won't.
It's not like I say that like that often.
They're saying it because they love you, Matt. All right, car photos. How is the NSX ownership so far? We talked about it. Zach Bell, Matt drove the DB12.
I did. That's where I went to Monaco to do.
Worth the press drive. Would you like to drive that? Actually, I was talking to Aston Martin yesterday, and I think they want to put me in their SUV first.
Have you driven the DBX 707?
That's the one.
The 707 is hot.
Yeah, that's what
it's hot. I loved the 707. It was so great. It was so much fun. It was so fast.
Is that from Taylor? So I was the PR person.
Yeah, probably.
Texting Taylor.
707 is hot. DB12 is also excellent.
Because I was trying to get a Lambo. She goes, no, I work for Aston, and the 707 is what you want to drive.
It is.
That's what she said. I go, all right, send it over.
I would take 707 over Urus. In the ultra SUV category, I would take the 707 over the Urus.
That is a dare because I love the Urus.
Yeah. I just had the Performante and I didn't
so
love
did
it.
So did I. I loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
I thought that the trade-off of not having the air suspension in the Performante and the harsher ride does not translate to an increased level of performance that I could ever reasonably use.
Right. I wouldn't disagree with that, but I loved the vehicle so much. I loved every inch of driving it. I just think it's such a big win.
You know who loved the Performante? Hannah.
Yeah.
Hannah thought it was the greatest thing. And then I was like, eh, it's not really for me. But the DBX 707 is extremely fire.
My only comment on that would be a regular Urus is just fine too.
Yeah, yeah.
I might not pay that premium.
I like the regular Urus more than I like the Performante for what it is.
Dan O'Keefe.
You'll like DB12 when you get one of those two. After Pebble. They're sending all the cars to Pebble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I asked for one for something else.
Yeah.
And they were like, every car is going straight to Pebble, but after Pebble you can. So anyway, sorry, go on.
I don't know why any of these manufacturers aren't saying, hey, you know, Spike, you need a car. Why don't you just, here, we'll give you this. Drive this for a year, talk about it.
For
a
year?
Yeah, make that car.
I mean, I've never heard of a $300,000 long-termer, but okay.
Well, doesn't it matter? People like us driving their stuff?
I don't think...
Again.
I don't think that their buyer needs to know what the 40,000-mile long-term experience is.
It's just them seeing that we're in it, knowing that we're men of
good
taste.
Run that up the flagpole. Let me know how it goes.
I have long-term loans right now with these electric bikes. I've got the Saunders Metricycle, which I use all the time.
A little different, maybe, than an Aston Martin?
Nah, it's the same.
Just a little
No, it's different. Two wheels.
I do want to try that Metricycle. That thing's cool.
You can drive it.
I'd like to. I'm going to come up to Brentwood and play.
I drive it surprisingly a lot as a bicycle.
Yeah.
It's really fun. I drove it to a 4th of July party the other day and really loved it. It's so smooth.
Electric
so nice.
Bikes are rad. My electric bike gets a ton of use.
And then you've seen what I'm up to with Cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Thrashing neighborhoods on an electric dirt bike and having so much fun.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're showing no signs of letting up. They said, because I've got a chain drive on it.
Oh.
With a big sprocket, which makes a sound, which I love.
That's a good time.
Everybody can see it, but it just grabs.
It's got that whine.
It grabs the dirt and goes.
Cool.
And then they said, we've got something with, I think, a Gates carbon belt and a kickstand.
Ooh.
I'm taking this thing for coffee in Brentwood.
Awesome.
Riding over dividers and stuff. It's so fun. It's fun to break the law a little bit.
That an electric bike, you can be a pedestrian, a motorcycle, or a bicycle at any multiple times per block.
Yes. Okay, what's your favorite current watch?
The one I designed.
There you go. That's from Dan O'Keefe. And he's writing more. No, I'm only going to ask, you only get one question. Okay, which car would you pick? We talked about bills. We talked about the new thing. What's upsetting you guys lately? Unloved 9/11. Any grievances worth airing? I do. I have lots. I mean, I could do a whole show. We haven't done a show like that.
A grievance show could be fun.
What's upsetting me mostly right now is what's been upsetting me for a long time is the slow left lane drivers. It's summertime. The tourists are here. For some goddamn reason, LA will not put signs up on PCH or Sunset that say, slow traffic, stay to the right.
Oh my God.
If they just did that, everybody would get the idea, but they don't do it.
The other day I was going to Malibu with my wife, who was driving our Ford. She was driving, I was riding.
Yes.
And there was a 3 Series BMW in the left lane on PCH doing 46 miles an hour. Oh. And Hannah, after several miles stuck behind this car, passed on the right. The horror! Passed on the right. And this person honked at us for passing.
Yep.
And then put their high beams on at us and flashed for about a half a mile just because it was one of those people who thought that they should set the pace.
Exactly. That's not the law.
It's not the law.
The law is let them pass. They can be going 100, let them pass.
Yes, that is.
That's the law.
Yeah, you are not the police.
You are not the police. You have to get out of the way. It's a passing lane.
It was crazy.
It's so frustrating. And the guy's just demonstrating his stupidity.
Yeah.
That's one of the most frustrating things. Look, if I ever do run for governor, which I'm thinking about it, don't look too deeply into my past. But if I'm thinking about it, I would run on that platform. Yeah. Here's the two platforms. You're fucking around with your phone in the car. It's now $5,000 first offense. $5,000. And watch, look, wow, suddenly people aren't dying on the road. It's also 5 years in jail for driving slow in the left lane.
There you go.
That's first offense.
A strong platform.
You do it a second time,
that's
it. You
just earned my vote.
You're gone for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing it for Prius,
death penalty. Go ahead. What?
My grievance is more inside baseball, but it's with just the fact that we spend so much time and energy making these YouTube videos that are the absolute best we can make them.
Yes.
And they are just losing so much money. There's just no.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just. It's not going to last, and it's losing money.
For how?
What they're bringing in versus the amount of time we have to spend to make them.
Of course, there's real production going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like it's a bummer because
why is that? Is YouTube's fucking
their algorithm is favors new creators, favors people that are consistently making. You know the biggest factor in whether or not someone watches a video of ours is what the car is.
Right.
We could do the same thing every video. Cars, sports cars, $40,000 to $100,000 is about a 5x multiplier over anything outside that narrow thing.
Okay.
There are fewer of those types of cars every year, and we film every single one of them.
Right.
But we have to film other stuff too.
Right.
And so to put effort into a video, you know, hours or days, usually it's days, and then just it's not worthwhile because, you know.
That's all right. You're evolving into something different. That's exactly, there's a timeline of everybody's career, and you have to evolve and change. And obviously where we're sitting right now is where you're evolving.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually I'll just be the guy who parks cars.
Yeah, or you'll be your own media destination app, and you'll make stuff when you want to make stuff, and
maybe
people will download the app that way. I think the more you can untether yourself from shitty corporations.
Yeah.
Speaking of shitty corporations, here's a question from Zach Bell. That sounded like an edit. It wasn't. Thoughts on the Threads app and Twitter's demise? And Matt and I are on different sides of this, but you were a real killjoy the other day on the Threads app. And I agreed with the person who wrote you were a killjoy because we were all enjoying the first 24 hours of no Elon Musk before you pointed out the truth, which is there's another shitty billionaire running this one.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to acknowledge that quickly, Matt.
Imagine how bad someone has to fuck up to go, you know who's got something? Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
You got to fuck up so bad for us to forget that Zuckerberg is the alternative.
But Putin's app is not bad either. We could just go use the Putin app. It's got no Elon Musk.
Have you seen what Viktor Orban's doing over there?
I know. Look, we all know that. We all know that. But
sorry to rain on the first day
parade.
As
I wrote under your post in the Threads, which I don't even know what it means, but I'm enjoying it because I want to delete Twitter and I'm very close.
Yeah.
I wrote, it's at least a baby step of improvement.
Possibly.
Not much.
Possibly.
Because Musk is such a jackass right now. He's just so out of control.
Yeah.
And Zuckerberg at least is not so much out of control, right? He still does the same damage to our culture.
Yeah. We just aren't watching all of it.
We aren't watching
it.
It's more surreptitious and it's not so blatant.
Right.
But that's what I mean. It's a slight improvement. And I don't disagree
so
with you. It made me laugh when you wrote
like
it.
My literal first like 5 minutes on Threads.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is all right. Because I could connect it to my Instagram and other people could do the same.
Right.
It felt like people were there already. Whereas I made an account at Blue Sky, which also drove me fucking nuts because I hate Jack Dorsey almost as much as I hate these other assholes.
Oh boy.
But I made an account at Blue Sky and it felt empty.
Right.
Like there just wasn't much going on.
Yeah.
And so I made
Threads was a party.
Threads
launched and we were all part of this party.
At first it did. But then I started actually going back to it and like the feed wasn't chronological. I was getting fed a bunch of stuff that wasn't people I follow. I realized that the people I follow on Instagram whose pictures I want to see, I don't necessarily want to
hear what they have to say, right?
And vice versa.
Correct.
And then I was sort of like, and then I got so mad. And I just was like, another fucking social media network. Like, I just don't want to have to do this again.
Right. I have too much to do.
And then I have.
But that's what has me a little excited is I love my Instagram friends. And this is an extension of that.
Yeah.
They're generally supportive. I support them. I like it and I like interacting with them. I hate Twitter. Nothing works there.
I liked Twitter 2 years ago. Like,
but
it had its problems, but like so many smart people who I've bought books from and whose like Substacks I read and subscribe to now, I found on Twitter.
Wouldn't you agree for me, and this is just for me maybe, Twitter was just about reading news. Twitter was my newspaper. I wanted to open it up. I wanted to just look.
News and cultural criticism.
I reluctantly put the podcast stuff up there. I don't even want to, but I like to read hey, there was an earthquake. Okay, LA earthquake Twitter
sure,
is fun.
Yeah.
Or, hey, what's going on with Trump got arrested? Oh, let me read all their points of view on that one.
Yes.
There's no real hashtag search on Threads yet,
right.
So you can't quite use it that
way. There's also no web browser interface, and I don't like using apps. I use Instagram and Twitter on a computer.
Right, right.
And the fact that I can't do that with Threads yet is a real drawback.
So it's not perfect. So there you go. There's our opinion on it. Once I turned on notifications for it.
Oh, no.
Which was fun. Just to watch it go. And it was just great. It was like, you know, I got 6 followers. I got 1,000. I got 2,000. I got 3,000. Yeah. And it was really exciting for 24 hours. And then
I turned off notifications immediately.
But look, now I'm up to 4,000.
Are you? I don't even know what I'm at. I have no idea.
But once it gets to, like, my Twitter just, it got to 15,100 people, and I had a blue check, and of course they took it away, and I'm not going to pay for it.
Of course you're not. Not an asshole.
Once I get up to that number, when I get right up to that exact number, I'm deleting Twitter. It's over. I'm out. Okay. I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I made the account in order to make sure that no one else could take my username, you know? I played with it for 10 minutes.
Right.
I have not looked at it since. And we'll see which terrible billionaire wins.
How do you like the Restomod Diablo? Is that that thing?
It did not look great to me.
Metallic gray silver thing I've been seeing?
Yeah, I didn't love it.
I thought it looked.
You see the interior?
I didn't.
The interior is not good.
No,
looks like a '90s Buick.
I'm gonna reserve judgment. Haven't really seen a lot of it.
Outsingering Singer is a tough thing to do.
The new Singer.
Oh, looks awesome.
It looks great.
It looks awesome.
I know. I can't stop thinking about that. That's the first one that made me go,
it looks real cool. One of the guys from Singer showed me that on their phone at Luft before, and I was like, fuck me.
You start shaking. It's the shot from behind.
Oh, it's sick. The new Gunther with the turbo motor seems pretty epic, too.
I haven't driven their stuff.
The Tornado.
I miss their stuff.
Yeah. Gunther, you know, it's a different vibe from Singer, but I think the execution of their cars is pretty goddamn good. They're fun. They're a lot of. Have you driven one yet? You drove a Gunther, right?
I did.
It's fun, isn't it?
Multiple times.
Yeah, they're rowdy.
I had to have a kidney operation after to stabilize my urine flow.
They're rowdy.
Yeah. All right. I think those are all the good
questions.
Those
are all the good ones?
I think that was it. I'm sorry I didn't get to them earlier, but.
Can I plug a couple things?
Sure, go.
If anyone out there is in England, please come see Zach and I at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, the 14th and 15th, Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th. We will be podcasting live on the Lotus stage, which is at the inside of Turns 1 and 2 at the Goodwood Festival of Speed. And then we'll be podcasting live in front of an audience Sunday, July 16th at Caffeine and Machine outside of Stratford-upon-Avon. You can get tickets at Caffeine and Machine's website. And if you are in the South Bay area, Los Angeles Beach Cities, we've just opened West Side Collector Car Storage South Bay, just off of Rosecrans Avenue. And we are here for you, WCCS.com. Thanks for having me, Spike.
There you go.
You're going to go out with Peter Gabriel?
Some Peter Gabriel. And don't forget to get your tickets if you want to see us at Pebble Beach Concours.
Of course.
Just go to their website, the forum site, or go to my Instagram, and you're going to find the links.
I shared it on my Instagram as well.
That's probably why we're almost sold out. We'll see you next week
Pebble Beach
on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.